Happens Audio. The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
And we're rolling. What's up, dude?
A little bit of business there.
That's up. What's up, barbecue's bad boy?
That's me, man.
I almost started watching it like a barbecue show on Netflix. I know, cool setup, Kyle. But I don't know why I didn't continue watch. I found something else. But I was like, why are you like ripping up these shows, being like just the weird barbecue mercenary, like vigilante, like when they're like, you know, played for this team or cooked for this restaurant, and yours is just like question marks. Like Dave Stone, he's got no backstory. We don't even know if this is his real name. Like the A-team.
I'd love
the barbecue.
One of those shows. Yeah. No, that's a good one. I watched, I think there's four episodes of that. I've watched a couple. I watched the Rodney Scott one. I watched the one with the 82-year-old lady who gets up at 3 a.m.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, they just do that at that age. You mean she's making barbecue also?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good story. I forgot her name. Something like Tootsie or something like that. But she's a like an elementary school custodian during the week. And then on the weekends, she gets up at like 2 or 3 in the morning and sells barbecue. And she's been doing it for like 50 years. So it's a pretty cool story.
I'm more impressed with the digestive system of an 82-year-old woman. Who consumes barbecue? Because I mean, eating meat, like I've cracked my back from the size of the shits I've taken when I would just eat meat all the time. You're an 82-year-old brittle woman. You'll snap your pelvis in half.
Yeah,
dumping out that much she's brisket.
She's an old farm girl, man. She's a old sturdy gal.
Built for it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I like the well done barbecue documentary. I don't like the there's a couple of these cheap like cable series.
There's a joke like in there somewhere. I like well done barbecue series. Well done.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I don't do comedy no more.
But some of the competition shows are kind of annoying. It's just the same stuff. But these are well done. That new, what is it, Chef's Table Barbecue or something?
Yeah, Netflix doesn't fuck around on some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. If they're going to make a documentary exploiting child dancers, they're going to do a great job of it.
Is that the one everybody's talking about, Cuties or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I guess there was like a rally against it in Hollywood the other day. And some people down at Hollywood Vine, some Trump supporters railing against. I didn't see it. I watched some clips from it. It did look kind of like, here's what I know without having watched the movie. It's basically, so we're all clear. I'm passing no judgment on it because I haven't seen it. Apparently the outrage is that like it's showing little kids twerking and stuff, which is gross. But the whole point of the movie is that it's supposed to be about how kids are sexualized at an early age. So it's supposed to be like showing that. But then what I've read from people is like, actually, it's just more about. It's more gross than it is like informative and exposing the exploitation. I don't want to watch it. It's not something I want to formulate. A strong opinion on. I think they got the publicist. I think we talked about this last week. We talking about this? I don't know who I have conversations with anymore.
I don't think so.
I think Netflix,
I don't think we've talked about this.
Okay, I think Netflix got the publicity they wanted, maybe too much negative publicity, but publicity nonetheless to get people to watch it and form their own opinions. But people think it's part of the, you know, the cannibal pedophiles that run Hollywood.
You know the
cannibal pedophiles that we deal with because we're in show business. Maybe that's a rank. Yeah. Maybe we know we haven't made it because we haven't dealt with any cannibal pedophiles.
That's true. I've yet to run across any of it in my dealings with the show business.
That's what I mean. Like, there's making it. Who's and to then say? There's like, then there's, I met up with the cannibal pedophiles making it.
Dude, speaking of which, I ran across a YouTube video. Speaking of cannibal pedophiles, I ran across a some random YouTube video last night where they were talking about Pinocchio, the Disney version of Pinocchio, and how that's riddled with subtle symbolism of Hollywood pedophilia. And the dude hosting it, like, he made some good points about, I don't remember enough of the details to relay them to you, but just talking about how basically that whole story is symbolic of the Hollywood pedophile thing, which, and Pinocchio was, I don't know when that was made, the 20s or 30s or something, but just talking about how it's been there from day one. And how one of the characters represents the Harvey Weinstein type, and I don't know, but it made some good points. I got to go back and look at it again. But
well, the story is from 1883, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they talked about that, but I think they added some stuff to the cartoon, the big Disney cartoon, whenever that came out. But it made some interesting points. I don't know.
I think they're all at the point of like if it's Elvis is still alive shit. If you want to find it, you'll find it. You'll put it together enough the random information to create your hypothesis. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So that was happening down the street here the other day. Anyway, we got there from talking about barbecue TV shows.
Yeah. We're all over the map. How's it going there in L.A., man? This is your last week in town.
Last week? I was going to send you a picture. Like, the setup I have every... This is the most... Of all the shitty setups we've had for recording this show, this is by far the most precarious. It basically, the setup... I'll send you a picture of it. It looks like I made a Rube Goldberg machine around me, and now I can't get up.
How so?
It's just like, well, I'm in a chair, but then the mic stand is on the arm of the chair with the mic dangling down, and the Zoom is just on one arm of the chair, and I'm stuck here now. So I got coffee that's kind of behind me. It's like if the movie Saw was just like, oh, now you have to have a successful podcast to get yourself out of this. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, man.
Fucking Joe Rogan can take his $300 billion or whatever they paid him. Couldn't even pull a table up next to me over here. My favorite murder is worth $15 million. I was looking at top podcasting earnings. I was trying to see where we fell in the top podcasts, top earning podcasts.
My favorite murder is making $15
million. According to a Forbes article, Joe Rogan, however many, $30 million. My favorite murmur. I think they got a fit. My favorite murmur. Let's start a podcast called My Favorite Murmur, and it's about our declining health. It's basically it's called My Favorite Murmur, and we tape our show, but it's while you're on the treadmill and you try to host while running on treadmill.
Oh man!
This is a million.
Treadmill comes tomorrow.
This is a $1 million idea, and that means we still won't be in the top five earning podcasters with a $1 million idea.
Have you ever? Did you know that you come up if you Google? You know how like when you Google something or someone, there's multiple options that'll come up immediately, sure. Like Kyle Kinane comedy, Kyle Kinane. You come up in the net worth.
Oh, I'm looking it up right now.
Your business is out there, man.
Let me see what they got. What do they got? They got... This is from last year.
Mm-hmm. What does it say now? What's your net worth according to the computer?
I love the idea that they list your credits. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a comedian. Who voices Bullet the Dog in Paradise PD. My net worth from the two voiceover credits from a Disney XD show and a True TV show, $19 million.
That's Hell yeah, dude. Way to go, man.
Oh, I didn't know I was worth $19 million. What am I doing haggling with these assholes on OfferUp over my RC car charger for when I got $19 million out there?
Yeah, man. You got money you didn't even know you had.
I sure... Well, trivia, he co-hosts a podcast called The Boogie Monster with fellow comedian Dave Stone. I wish that was on there.
Rachel, yeah, I wish Rachel, my net worth is on there.
Sorry. Do you know, according to net worth, I have $19 million?
You don't?
I don't have that. That's pretty good, man. Oh, well, Rachel's leaving me. Apparently, she's been paying attention to this website, and now she's devastated. $19 million! I just I'm going to buy my favorite murder and change it to my favorite murmur. And the show, it's just you for an hour running on a treadmill. It's just the audio.
Yeah, man.
Of you running on your treadmill. God damn. Fucking, all right. Well, man. I didn't realize I was rich, Dave. You need anything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it.
Okay,
off,
all right. You let me know.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you up.
You let me know it.
Speaking of the treadmill. Treadmill comes tomorrow, dude. I'm going to change my life starting tomorrow. Very excited.
I like that. I like your attitude that this is, like, without a doubt going to... It has to. You've said too much publicly about it.
Well, it's... If I don't lose weight now, then it's just crystal clear that I'm just a piece of shit. Like, it's right here in my living room. What's the problem? I don't know. This is the final straw.
Well, like I was saying, if you don't, you're a man of conviction. So if you're not going to use the truck, you have to become the fattest guy in the world. That's the only other option.
It's you got to lean into it.
Although, fuck, man. Slim down Dave Stone. Do you think it would affect your toughness? Because there's something to having a... physically a little weight behind you when you're going into a situation?
Yeah, I don't know. I think what I might lose in, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but I think whatever I lose in addition to the weight, I would gain in agility and flexibility.
Speed.
And I'll be quicker. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Fast Dave? Fast Dave Stone?
Yeah.
That is,
watch out.
That is a threatening concept. Because I've been around you. If you want to go berserk, there's the only thing you can hope for is maybe outrun you. That's the best defense.
Although I am fast for a big guy.
You are,
I'm already pretty fast.
That's what I mean.
For a big dude.
I'm not even saying like that's an easy task. Because when you're pissed too, like that's when you get the superhuman gumption.
Yeah.
That's what I want my superhero strength to be is like. Just real, a lot of gumption, because nobody knows what it means, so you can kind of define it as you go. What's that guy? He got a lot of gumption. How so? I just, whenever something, if he wants to do something, he's going to do it. Now I got to look up what the actual definition of gumption is.
Yeah, what does gumption
shrewd
mean?
I guess spirited initiative and resourcefulness. Yeah,
okay.
I would love spirited resourcefulness.
Oh man. But yeah, dude, I'm gonna get on it, man. I texted you this, but I had an incident this week. I rode my bike, or the bike you gave me.
That's your bike, man.
I rode it to the record store the other day, and I haven't been in a record store in 6 months since COVID started, seven months, whatever it is now. But the one here in Long Beach finally opened up again, so I thought, well, I'll slap on the mask and ride the bike over there and social distance and try to pick up a couple records. Yeah. And rode the bike over there, and it was the middle of the day. It was on Saturday. It was pretty hot out. By the time I got there, I was so sweaty that I was too embarrassed to shop. So I went in, and immediately, as soon as I walked in the door, the girl behind the counter is like, do you mind using the hand sanitizer? They had a big jug of hand sanitizer right by the door, and I don't know if she asked everybody at that, but
she took
one look at me.
No, I would think, sorry to interrupt, but that's like records, you can only look at them by flipping through them, by touching them, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I went to a guitar shop, and they had like all the guitars you try that you would have to turn them around on the stand so they would know to come through and wipe them down after you walk through.
Ah,
So I don't take that one. I don't take that one personally. It's not like she gave you deodorant but she and a towel.
But she did have this look of disgust mixed with fear. And I didn't realize how gross I was, but I caught myself in a mirror. They had a little mirror there. And I wasn't just sweaty. I looked like I fell into a body of water. Like I was just completely soaked. And I rode, the whole point was I'll ride the bike over there, get pick up a couple records, ride home. And I lasted about 45 seconds. And other customers were looking over their shoulder, like it just I was attracting too much attention.
How far?
And
is
I just
this
turned around
store?
And left.
Where'd you ride to?
It's
San
only
Diego?
Like a mile and a half.
A mile and a half.
Well, here's the thing. I said I said the bike that you gave me, although I got a flat tire on that. So I set out on that one immediately, not completely flat, but it needed some air.
Yeah.
So I came back and I got Katie's bike, and she's got like a beach cruiser with like the basket on it, and she's got the different gears.
Yeah.
And I'm not familiar with her bike. I've never ridden it too much, and I had it in a low gear, didn't realize it.
Oh, so that you could have changed out for something easier.
Yeah. So it was like the whole time I was riding, I was like, man, am I this out of shape? Like, this shouldn't be that hard. And by the time I got there, I realized, oh, shit, I had it in a lower gear. Yeah. I was working harder than I needed to. But, man, it was a pretty disgusting display of perspiration. And
well, that SE is a single speed, shop. Too, so that's a lot of work.
Yeah. So I gotta lose some weight just so I can go shopping now. So... But that all changes tomorrow, buddy.
Dave's buttering his haunches so he can slide through the door of the record store.
Oh, my God. I do have to grease up. Not to get too too graphic here, but I lube up the thighs. I got to lube up the thighs with the lotion so I don't chafe.
I thought you said it's the sides. I was like, you really are trying to
thighs.
Slip around your apartment by greasing your loins?
No, I gotta slap a little Vaseline on the old thighs there so I don't.
I
don't get the sandpaper thighs.
No, I got. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Powder the nuggets. Powder the nuggets. Mm. Grease the wings. I might not be a big boy, but I'm a humidity gets the best of me. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh man! Oh, so what's going on with you, man?
Well,
last week in town. Are you all packed up now? Are you packed completely?
No, we got
the furniture.
No, we got shit all over the place. I'll tell you this. I'll say. Did I tell you the ghost story? I told the ghost story last week that my landlord told me, right?
Did you?
Not ghost story, but...
Oh, right, yeah.
About the woman
that
coming
one,
in.
Your landlord. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was that. Oh, well, I'll say this one, but... yeah, that was... I was just had my own... that's what I was going to say. L.A.'s not making it tough to want to leave. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Between, like, I watched somebody try to steal my mail...
Really? You caught someone trying to steal your mail?
I was sitting out on the balcony. It was about 1:30. It was last week. About 1:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. I'm out there just getting loose with it. And I watched some people walk up the street, and they're looking at all the houses. I'm like, oh, they're up here to steal mail. Like, I just knew it. They're up here to, like, they're up here, they're casing places out. Because you go on Nextdoor, one of those apps, and it's all it is, it's mail theft now. Especially, I think they were saying because all the stimulus checks being dropped off. And I watched, it looked like two guys and a gal, and I watched a gal walk up the front steps of our building and just put her hands in the mailbox. And I was like, I'm a one floor up. There's nothing I can like mm-hmm. do other than let them know I see them. So I'm just like, can I help you? And she's, oh, wrong address, and starts to scurry off. I'm like, what an excuse. Wrong address.
Gotta get a BB gun.
I have them. I just didn't know, man, I would need it in that instance. But so then they shuffled off because it was like clearly somebody was out there watching them. But between that, this is minor shit, but like when little things all pile together, you know, Rachel like drove through some fresh dog shit. Could happen anywhere, but you know, town full of people with dogs, but that don't pick up after their dogs. You're a scumbag. Your dog's fine. You're a mm-hmm. piece of shit. So flip dog, fresh dog shit all over the car inside of the wheel wells. Like I've never had, like, I don't know what kind of special diet that dog had. Where it's like, you roll over dog shit, get stuck in the tire. That's it. This flung it all over the wheel wells. The whole car smelled like shit.
Ugh.
I had to hose that off. Then earthquake. Do you feel earthquake?
Dude,
it was Friday
that
night.
That was fairly intense.
4.6.
4.6 or 4.8.
And it was
there.
Close. It was close. It was closer to us than it was to you. I think they said it was like in El Monte or something, which is like just out past Pasadena.
Yeah, over. Yeah, Inland Empire. Yeah, that way.
So felt that one Friday night earthquake. Sky's finally cleared up from the smoke, but that Bobcat fire has all my riding spots shut down. Shut down.
Where is that Bobcat fire, by the way? I keep hearing about that, but do you know exactly where that's at?
It's up. We went camping up in that Angeles Crest, and it's by Mount.
Oh,
it's all
up the two.
It's that
there.
Whole area. Yeah, Mount Wilson. They got firefighters trying to protect Mount Wilson, the observatory. So that's going on. I thought there was other stuff. I don't know. It's just like, all right, yeah, we're getting out of here. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I was reading about climate migration, about how just the fires. I mean, living here for 17 years, fires have gotten exponentially worse. And they will continue to do so. So, like, but we're going to Oregon, same thing, it's on fire. But at least it will rain there eventually. I think I'm ready to get out of Southern California for a while. But,
I don't blame you.
Yeah, but I told you that, but I exercised my Second Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
So got a few more days before I could pick up a firearm.
Right on. You want to talk about that? What'd you get?
I guess. Well, that's what I asked before we started. Like, is it weird? Like, is there any reason to keep it secret or not? I'm like, I'm not bragging about it.
I don't think so.
Well, because I did that. And then I did a show that night because I bought it kind of on a whim. Like, I've been thinking about it for a while. And then I was like, well, let's just do it. Because it's like, well, guns are running out, and you look at the people that do own the guns, and the very literal interpretation of the phrase, I might be bringing a knife to a gunfight at some point. With ways that this country is going, that might be my only defense, literally, is bring a knife to a gunfight. So I made jokes about that night, but then I got stoned and I got real paranoid about, like, oh, should I be making jokes about owning a gun and making fun of, like, but that's because I was like real high. And I also watched The Invitation, which is a movie. I don't remember if it was good or not. That's here nor there. But then I thought, like, well, no, that's my First Amendment right, is I get to make jokes about anything I want.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, bought a gun, man.
Way to go, dude. What'd you get?
Got a Glock 27.
Nice. 40 cal?
40 cal.
Dude, that's exactly what I carried when I was a cop.
They said it's a go-to thing. I noticed a lot of people on the Reddit. Again, appraise this Reddit. Good job on the Boogie Monster Reddit. But somebody suggested liberal gun owners. Been on it for months. Appreciate the suggestion. But yeah, I got, you know, there's some days of, that whole tyrannical government thing. Well, it's kind of happening now, huh?
Yeah, and then it is.
You know, I was keeping it lighthearted there for a minute, but yeah, Friday I got real bummed out with the RBG going down, and how
that's
you know,
a bummer.
the sheer hypocrisy of them probably forcing through a nomination, even though it was like, hey, hypocrisy, that's just politics, baby. Fuck that, man. You should want better from your government. Every single human being, I think, does want better from the government. So that got me a little bit. And this was after I purchased the firearm, but got me like kind of bummed out about the state of things and what the possible directions the shit might go in and what's going to happen in November. So I got a little in my head Friday night about it. That kind of reaffirmed.
Well, I'm glad you
to have it in the house, you know.
I'm glad you finally pulled the trigger.
Hey, Dave.
But no, that's great, man. I think you picked a good one there, dude. That's a solid gun. I had that, and I had a Glock 40 cal. I forgot what model, but our backup. You said yours is the 27. Is that right?
Yeah, 27. You can convert. You could do barrel. Convert it to a 9mm, which I guess would be the Glock 19. I think somebody said.
I don't know why you would want to do that. You were telling me about that. I don't know what's the benefit of converting it to a 9mm. 40 cal is a bigger caliber.
I know, but anyway, I'm a new gun owner, so I like, you know, maybe learning on something easier.
I had that. That was my main service weapon that I had on my hip. And then we also had, I think it was the Glock 23. It was also a 40 cal, but it was smaller. That was our backup weapon. We had that on our, like, what am I trying to say? The bulletproof vest. We had a holster on the inside of the vest, kind of like on your rib cage.
Okay.
But it was also 40 cal. I think that was the 23. Exact same gun, just smaller and smaller magazine, but same bullet, same caliber.
What was the
those are good guns.
I was basically like, I want a 9mm. The guy's like, we don't have anything. He's like, we got this, which is the closest you'll get. And the only reason we have these in, because I was like, well, why? If everything's sold out, why do you have these? Why do you have these then? Like, are they crummy or nobody wants them? Because we got them last night. I'm like, all right, let's just do it. Let's give it to me. And then we'll see what else. Because, you know, we're going to Oregon where everything's legal up there, but I don't want to change my residency because it's not a permanent move. It's only a temporary move. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
did you get a holster, like an ankle holster or anything?
I'm going to learn how to shoot it before I go, you know, cruising around Costco with it. I think I'm going to spend some time getting to know what it can do, what I can do with it before I'm like, hey, check it out. So my buddy did the same thing. He's like, well, there's holsters. I'm like, nah, it's staying in the box for right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even in the store, the guy's like, I'm like holding it. I'm like, I'm just buying a gun, man. Oh, how's it feel? It feels like a fucking gun. I'm buying a gun. Give me the gun. Like, I'm not not here fucking Annie Oakley spinning around on my finger, shooting holes through quarters with it. It just needs to do the thing it does. So
I was actually, I took some courses right before my law enforcement career ended. I was about to become an armor, a certified armor, someone who can repair and fix and all that.
Oh, really?
The Glocks. So I took a couple real boring classes.
Wasn't gun repair one of those like home Sally Struthers technical course things?
I think so.
What gun repair?
Yeah, I feel like that was part of the scroll, you know, at the end of the commercial.
That's where I'm picturing it. Know? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the
refrigeration repair, gun repair.
Yeah. But the attitude, like,
Notary Public.
Think about the attitude towards guns was never as polarized. Obviously, it's been in the news, but I remember, yeah. My buddy's dad had a ton of guns. And it was like, yeah, guns are around. People get shot with guns, but also guns are things that people, regular people have. And it wasn't this, even I was like, you know, stigmatized by it. And I'm like, no, what the fuck, man? Yeah. All the people I disagree with are the ones like, every citizen should be armed. So I'm like, yeah, because you're scary as fuck and you got guns. So I better, I think I need one.
Yeah. I've been begging Katie to get a gun. She has no interest, but I definitely think females should carry and know how to shoot a gun. you know, get you. They have guns now specifically marketed towards females. You know, smaller, yeah, fit in your hand better.
Pink
that kind
with
of
Hello
stuff.
Kitty stickers on them and shit.
But I, oh man, I do think women should carry a little pistol. But you know, that's
well,
that, you know, I don't want to push too hard, but I've made it clear to her my opinion on that. She just has no interest. But oh well,
I'll give you a reason to get a gun. Don't make. I'll give you a reason to want a gun, lady.
I still think you should do something. I feel like you coined that phrase. I never heard anybody else say it, but the gentrify the NRA. I think you put that on a T-shirt or bumper sticker. You will be worth $19 million. That's a $19 million idea.
I mean, I've heard the sentiment from other people, like, you want to see gun control? Let every black guy get an AR-15 and walk around with it legally. You'll see gun control.
Yeah.
And as we've learned, both of us, I think, learned recently that, you know, and we talked about why there's such strict laws in California is because the Black Panthers were using their constitutional rights. And that's when that stuff got changed. And now everybody, like, because I do try to go, like, all right, it's fucked up because I'm trying to get information about being a gun owner. And it does, like, much more often than not, you're steered towards some sort of right-wing conservative. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to be more tolerant towards, okay, just conservative viewpoints. Sure, they're out, but, like, just right-wing. Fuck, oh, well, you live in California. It's going to be hard to get all this shit. And now knowing, like, oh, the reason the laws are so strict is because of how racist people were about black people owning guns. It's like, motherfucker, it's like this way because you're racist. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm kind of laughing at that. Ah, man, I don't know, but I'm going to have a couple days between when I can pick it up versus when I got to leave. So you might have to find a day down at the range, Dave.
Yeah, man, I would love to. I'd love to go shooting.
But yeah, I did that, man.
Well, good for you, buddy. That's good. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm not trying to strut around with it, though.
Better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. That's what my dad used to say.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know, like, what it does mentally to somebody when they're walking around knowing they got a gun. I mean, I'm sure some people are responsible and great, but other people, guess who's a little bit more mouthy about things? And guess who's...
Yeah.
You know, you passed your background check, but that doesn't mean you're mentally sound.
True.
So.
Yeah. It definitely changes your point of view when you know you've got that. But
yeah.
But I think it's a case by case basis. I think you've got a good enough head on your shoulders to not let that really affect.
You don't know me.
How you're going to react.
Fucking old, yeah, old knife table got a gun. Now I'm going to have a gun table.
Oh, Jesus.
Got Elvis TV, an old tube TV just for shooting at.
Mm-hmm.
Man, ever tell you I went to Graceland and I was so pissed off how they, like, cleaned up his image for Graceland?
No, I didn't know you went. I've been. I was surprised at how small his house was.
Oh, yeah, like the house is not regular, huge, but, like, the land, he's got a lot of
like
stuff
around. Yeah, like a middle-class house. So they cleaned, what do you mean, they cleaned up his image there?
Well, they don't let you see the bathroom where he died on the shitter.
Uh-huh.
And then they don't show you the TV that he shot, or where he shot a TV. And it's just a lot of...
You can't even go upstairs.
No, that's where the bathroom is where he died. Like, everybody's here because we know he died on the shitter. Let me see the shitter. Like, well, we keep that private. That's just for the Presley family. And they run, like, fuck this, man. I paid money to get in here. Let me see where the king shat himself to death.
I guess I didn't even realize he died at home. I don't know why I thought that was a hotel somewhere, but
yeah,
okay.
No, I think he died in the bathroom. And then, like, in the back, I'm like, this is where his buddies would come out, and they would just plink shots at a target and have a few laughs, and you just knew everybody was, like, just on amphetamines and booze shooting guns in the air. Look who's skating.
Oh, boy.
But so, yeah, I was kind of bummed. Like, we know he shot at TVs and stuff, and they're just like, no, but it was, what a horrifying house to live in.
Yeah.
Like, what a truly, horribly decorated home.
Yeah, it was fairly tacky, but I guess that was the times back then.
I don't know.
When I was there, I don't know if it was the tour guide or somebody else was talking about his diet, and I guess late in life he ate a pound of bacon every morning. A pound of bacon in one setting. That is, I'm a big guy with a big appetite, and that even makes me nauseous. I'm good for about 3 or 4 strips of bacon. A pound is, that's like 20, 25 strips of bacon there.
He was only 42 when he died. We're older than Elvis.
We sure are. Made it longer than the king.
This motherfucker died from a heart attack at 42, pound of bacon. Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course he died from a heart attack at age 42. In my head, I thought he was like in his 60s or something.
No, he's 42. I always remember that. He died about 2 weeks before I was born, or 2 weeks after I was born. I think he died August 17th, 77. So the world wasn't big enough for both of us. One of us had to go.
Yeah, I was looking at
it. Did you ever hear the story? I did like this. I don't know if you heard this story, and we may have talked about this back when we did that Elvis episode. Remember, we talked about the conspiracy, is he really dead or not?
Yeah.
But I love the story. Apparently he used to do this a lot. He loved Cadillacs, and he would go to the local Cadillac dealership there in Memphis and just tire kick and look around and look at the new models and stuff. But they say just about every time he would go to the dealership, he would find a person who was kind of tire kicking. And usually they said it was usually like someone that kind of looked like maybe they were just daydreaming, couldn't really afford it. And he would go up to them and be like, "Hey, you looking at these Cadillacs?" And they're like, "Oh, hey, Elvis. Yeah, yeah, these are nice Cadillacs." And he goes, "So you really like that one, huh?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah." Jesus Christ. Charlie, calm down. Charlie likes Elvis. Anyway, long story short, he would just buy people Cadillacs. He'd be like, "You like that car? You thinking about getting it?" And they'd be like, "Oh, I'm just daydreaming. I can't really afford it." He goes, "Put it on my tab." But apparently he bought dozens of people Cadillacs. That's pretty rad.
I feel like he's a good guy, right?
Well, yeah, I think so. But, I mean,
or was the whole thing crazy with racist? Priscilla...
That I don't know. I do know that in modern times, he would definitely be, he'd get Me Too'd. Because I think when he met Priscilla, I think she was like 14.
All of them.
I think she was young.
Oh, I'm looking at pictures of Priscilla Presley right now. She is, yikes.
Yeah, I think she was like 14 when they met. Just like Jerry Lee Lewis, he married his 13-year-old cousin.
Jerry Lee Lewis crazy hillbilly.
Yeah.
Was it fucking he fully went over, speaking out of Elvis,
he went over to Graceland with a gun. I forgot what the beef was, but he showed up at Graceland with a gun wanting to shoot Elvis.
Dude, those guys were like the original gangster rappers as far as just maniac violence and everything. Who was it? Johnny Paycheck shot a guy in a bar and was like, "Well, all right."
Yeah. Johnny Paycheck shot a guy.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Those guys.
Johnny Paycheck also real small dong, apparently. I think that was part of his. That's why he was always on edge.
How'd that story come Dugan. Out?
I don't know. I think, I do know. According to that, there's a great series that Mike Judge did a couple years ago called Tales from the Tour Bus. Mm-hmm. Where it's animated stories about country music stars. And I think some of his roadies or tour guys were like, "Yeah, he had a real little penis."
I'm looking
that kind of bothered him.
Small enough to be bothered? Man.
Yeah.
Johnny Paycheck penis. That's what I'm looking up. I'm looking up Johnny Paycheck penis.
I guess that would affect your personality.
I got micro peen.
Katie just showed up with a sack of Wendy's. That is
Oh, that's shit. You got to get
partner right there.
You got to get going.
No, no. Got to cut it short. I got to eat this pretzel burger.
I understand. We can pick up where we left off. I get it, man.
No, nope. You got to get going.
Nobody wants to fuck around with cold shit. Wendy's.
She showed up with a hearty sack. This is a heavy sack of Wendy's. I don't even know what's in there, but I'm excited.
Wendy's is definitely one of the heavier fast foods. Like, physically heavy. Like, I wonder if fast food places have ever thought about making a heavier bag. Like, you know how, like, car doors have the sounds? Like, they specifically focus on what the door sounds like when it closes. Because that gives people the concept of quality. It's like when a car door closes. Like it's got a good like chunk to it, you know? I wonder if fast food places like make the wrappers and shit heavier. So when you get it, you're like, man, we're getting a lot of food for the price.
Yeah, it's a good value.
Have you seen capitalism and psychological trickery?
I know you're not in the market for this, but have you seen the commercials for Wendy's new pretzel pub burger? I'm excited to try that.
I haven't. Always love a pretzel bun.
Yeah, it's on a pretzel bun, but it just seems like there's a lot going on. It's got beer cheese and onion rings and all kinds of shit. I'm a little leery on how that's going to turn out, but I'm definitely going to try it. So we'll see.
Man, you got that treadmill? Dive in, dude. You got a counterattack all ready for it. So dive in.
Oh man.
Treat that, Dave, just do me a favor. Now. Treat that treadmill like a swimming pool, all right? Wait a half hour before getting on that thing. I don't need you.
Now I can eat even more.
I don't need you kicking off. We got $19 million from doing this podcast, so you gotta stay alive. I'll lose $19 million.
I start eating double dinner. No, it's okay. I got a treadmill.
So you just create your own.
Walk it off.
It's going to look like when they let the elephant paint things or something. That will sell the treadmill underneath you with all the food that's streaked across it. It's like when people throw latex paint behind a jet engine and let it splatter on a canvas. I would fuck with
first
that
treadmill to have barbecue sauce stains.
Yeah, I would fuck. You're just Jackson Pollock with condiments. Snacks and Pollock. Yeah. You're Snacks and Pollock. And we sell, we just give you placemats. You eat over a placemat, and then we sell those. You eat over a white placemat, we sell those Snacks and Pollock, along with my favorite murmur,
so
a podcast about heart attacks. I am worth, I might not have $19 million, Dave, but I'm worth $19 million. In my heart, I'm worth it.
You get... I'll tell you that. $19 million worth of ideas.
He's just giving them away for free. Well, technically, it's $4. I should be saving these for the Patreon. $4 a month over on the Patreon. You think these ideas are great, listeners? You should get on that Patreon and really hear what it sounds like when we half-ass something.
Dude, speaking of burgers.
Speaking of burgers. True witches.
This one hits home, man. This one hurts. R.I.P. Fuddruckers.
Duh.
Fuddruckers is no more, man.
Man, I am pissed because I'm trying to find information about it going on there. I rediscovered Fuddruckers later in life.
Really? Oh, rediscovered.
I mean, I had it when I was a kid, and then... you know, you'd get like, you know, when you're older, like, oh, we're going to go to Fuddruckers because like families and shit. And they were usually like, they're never like in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had one in Burbank.
Yeah. But like, it was like not a place, like, you know, it wasn't cool or whatever. And then I'd be on the road. I'm like, I haven't been to a Fuddruckers one. I think the Burbank one is when I started going back to it. When I was
I used to go there by myself.
Yeah.
Just family celebrating stuff. And there I am. Just at the toppings bar. That's what I loved about it. The toppings bar. The unlimited access to pickles and liquid cheese.
Dude, it was
so magical.
And they just ungoverned. It wasn't packets. It wasn't like you slid your tray right under the pump.
Yes, I loved it. That pump of cheese. Oh, my God. And multiple Heinz condiments. They had the mayonnaise. They had two or three mustards, the ketchup, the barbecue sauce. Oh, boy.
Man, that truly, I feel bad It definitely wasn't a delivery thing. The whole point was that you got the do-it-yourself assembly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, there was a couple of years, maybe around 12, 13.
I'm looking at an image search where, of the topping bar. It's gorgeous.
That was my go-to birthday meal. I remember being a young lad, and my parents would be like, where you want to go? You know, they would always take me out for a meal or something on my birthday, and it was Fuddruckers. That's what really turned me on to it, man. And then just, they had a one-pound burger. They had the different sizes. I don't think I ever tackled the one pounder, but just the different sizes and the that toppings bar, dude. When you're a fat little kid and you have unlimited access to cheese and pickles, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. I would rather, when I was 12 years old, I'd rather go to Fuddruckers than Disneyland. Seriously. That was my jam. Just drop me off, pick me up tonight.
Your parents realized how cheap it was to raise you. Well, there's flights and hotel, and then the park entrance fee, and we're going to have to eat in the park, everything. What's that? Dave just wants to know how many diced green peppers he can get in one fistful.
Yeah.
I'll take him to Fuddruckers. Yeah. I'll find out there. I'm looking, it looks like
I was a cheap date. I told you about when I was younger than that. I told you this, I think. When I was like 9 or 10, they were like, it was about a week before my birthday, and they were like, where do you want to go for your birthday? And I wasn't being funny. I was being sincere. I was like, I want to go to the dump. About a month before, I had taken my first trip to the dump. And but not the trash dump, but like the old refrigerators and furniture dump. And I just couldn't wrap my mind around, like, this stuff is free. Like, there was ping pong tables and refrigerator. And I was like, I would like to go to the dump for my birthday. And then they were like, we're not doing that, you idiot. But then I matured a couple years later, and then I went to Fuddruckers.
Took Dave to Fuddruckers, then let him run loose in a landfill. Happy 10th birthday, buddy.
Oh, man. I was in paradise. It was awesome.
You're a rodent. You lived life as a rodent. That's how you live.
Just a fat little possum.
Just.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking at pictures.
But it really did.
I'm looking at pictures.
It blew my mind.
The dump or the toppings bar?
Well, both. But and then before that, I'll tell you one more story. I'm really building a case for me being a real idiot. Yeah,
would you eat your siblings?
I remember the first time I was introduced to the concept of all you can eat. I was about 7 or 8, and there was a place in Marietta, Georgia called the Pizza Inn. And my dad took me there, me and my brother, after like a basketball game. We played like rec league basketball. And he's like, let's go to this new place called the Pizza Inn. And I was like, all right, let's just go get some pizza. But it was the first time I was exposed to the concept of a flat fee, all you can eat. And I was just like, I just couldn't wrap my mind around. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you get all you want. You go multiple trips up there to the little pizza bar there. And I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I was like, we found a loophole, Dad. We're going to put these bastards out of business. And I was just so happy. Just a fat little 8-year-old just couldn't get enough of the pizza. And the pizza was okay, but I was more excited about the concept. Literally, that was the first time I knew about all you can eat.
Am I wrong in assuming that your excitement and attention to detail for this moment is more lucid than when you first lost your virginity?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, eating is something I do every day. You know, it's more special. Oh my God. I was a dumb kid.
I'm looking at it. Kids are dumb. If you're a smart kid, you're a nerd. Nobody liked you. So be grateful you were dumb and had friends and had a good time.
Yeah,
the toppings bar.
That was me.
From left to right, we've got leaf lettuce, sliced onion, sliced pickles, mm-hmm. looking like chopped lettuce, banana peppers, chopped tomatoes, two kinds of chopped onions, purple and white. Now it's looking like
those were the crinkle cut pickles, by the way. They had the crinkle cut.
They have crinkle cut.
Not just your regular sliced dill.
They had and sliced. They you could have sliced or diced options for both your toppings.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, this is depressing, man.
Yeah, are they closed? It was great, man.
Like, can we go to one maybe?
I don't know if they're already closed or they've set a date to close. If they haven't closed yet, I'm going to have to make a trip up to Burbank and get one last hoorah there.
You let me know if you want to do that.
And it's good. It was solid, man. I used to go recently. Like, I went like a couple years ago and remember, like, this holds up.
I was going to them on the road because they had the fake meat burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Ketchup, yellow mustard, barbecue sauce, just in the pounding. Oh, such a damn shame.
Here's the thing, too, you know. It's not the toppings bar doesn't just pertain to the burgers.
Fuddruckers is what you could also
onion rings.
You could also blurt out Fuddruckers and then say like butt fuckers, and your parents would laugh first before they got mad at you. That one would get them. Can we go to butt fuckers? I mean Fuddruckers, Kyle. What? I don't know.
I don't know the name of it. Charlie, shut up. God, he's a maniac. He's just a maniac.
He's got a small dog syndrome. Take him to Fuddruckers. Shut him up for a while.
He looks like he swallowed a football.
You got a fat, small dog?
Oddly shaped. Yeah, yeah. A little fat, small dog.
Oddly shaped animal.
Oh, Fuddruckers, crazy little bastard.
That shit is closed. No, it says open 11 on 9 p.m. I'll try it, buddy. I'll give it a run. I'll give it a run with you. Oh, wait. No, somebody said they closed. Oh, fuck. The two questions on the Yelp page for this Fuddruckers. Is this location still open? No, they closed last night. That's from 10 months ago. And then are the hot dogs all beef? Yes, our hot dogs are all beef.
Oh man,
this one. Think about how often you did not go to Fuddruckers. Now they're closed. It's all our fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's all our fault. We did this. We did this to Fuddruckers, Dave. Me and you. I could have taken some of my $19 million.
That's true.
I'm going to reopen Fuddruckers Burbank. It's going to be called Buttfuckers. It's. A tribute to Fuddruckers.
It reminds me, there's a Sopranos episode in season one where they're trying to track down a guy who stole a car, and he worked at the equivalent of like a Starbucks. They never come out and say Starbucks. Mm-hmm. I guess there was some licensing issues or whatever. But they had like this dumb mechanic. He's like, yeah, I found a guy. He works over there at Buttfucks or whatever. It's like, what? Yeah, the coffee joint, Buttfucks. Oh, okay.
Luby's Cafeteria. Somebody, I think Shane Torres was bent out of shape about Luby's, because that's the parent company for Fuddruckers.
I don't know Luby's. What's that?
It's a Texas-based cafeteria chain that includes Fuddruckers. So I don't know Luby's either, but I knew about Luby's and somebody mentioning they were sad that it was going out of business. But I didn't know that Fuddruckers was a part of it until you told me now.
You don't see many cafeterias anymore. I like those. There used to be a chain, I don't know if they're still around, called Piccadilly. Do you remember Piccadilly? That was a real grandparents
joint. I think I remember the name.
Where, like, you get in line, like in the high school lunch, you know, it was cafeteria style, and you just point out, like, I'll take some of the Salisbury steak, and I'll take the green beans, and can I get a piece of that key lime pie? And then they total it up there at the cash register. Oh, Piccadilly was a good time.
So it's like just between a buffet and a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a Chuck-O-Rama fan, having been there in Utah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you're telling me about Chuck-O-Rama.
You'd love it.
That sounds fun. I've never been to
organized
one.
By island. Their own nations. All the food grouped into their own civilizations.
I like that. Like the Italian bar and the Mexican bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Seafood bar.
It's like just shitty Epcot Center.
Yeah.
Just a little tasty snacking United Nations. I don't know. Okay. Where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, shit, man. Well, that's bad news about Fuddruckers.
Yeah, damn it. It's just... Oh, if I could just have one more dance. If I could just have one more visit. I mean, it's like losing a friend.
Hold on, I just went to the website. We are open. I appreciate the calls, texts, and notes regarding our recent press reliefs. Although... These are shocking statements. We have 80 Luby's and Fuddruckers locations open to serve you. We are here today and plan to be here for a long time. Okay. That's from Todd Cutie, who's the COO. Let's see which locations. Let's find out, Dave. Maybe we got a road trip. Maybe this is the... This is our motorcycle diaries. Is me and you taking a long ride to the last Fuddruckers?
Oh, my God.
Locations. What you got? Oh, yeah, their website is all about how they're still open.
Okay.
Fuck. Los Angeles. They ain't open out in Los Angeles.
Ah, damn it.
United States. Mm. Yeah, let's see. California, what's our best bet? Oh, Bay Area. Apparently the Bay Area kept the Fuddruckers alive, but nothing. We got four left in California. That's it. And they're all in the
You're going right by there next week, no?
That's all on fire. I don't know if that's...
Yeah.
I'm going to check Oregon, if that's still going. Then I'll eat two for you, Dave. Oh, Oregon's not even on the list. That's not even an option. Damn it, man. We're in trouble. They're out there, but not anywhere close. No, none in Illinois. Fuck me. Arizona.
You don't know what you have until it's gone.
Still get one. Oh yeah, Phoenix. You morons. You morons get four of them.
I love how you have such disdain for Arizona.
I'm supposed to play there. It's one of my first dates back. Oh, God. Well, I
realized
that we got way past the topic, so now we're just kicking it.
We'll save it for next week.
We're having a fun, silly one, Dave. We had some information.
Oh, man.
We had a fun, silly one, kind of.
It's good times.
What you doing any shows yet?
No, I don't. I have no desire to do the virtual shows. When you said you did a show the other night, was that a virtual show?
Yeah, it was. It airs on the 27th.
How'd it go?
It was fun. Well, that was a show where I was like, had a couple beers and I'm blabbering about getting a gun. Also, like, I don't know how many of the questions you're supposed to get right on the test. Or how many you can get wrong and still pass. But, like, I missed, like, four of them. Because I was just going, like, I've been thinking about doing this, and I finally saw that there was no line at the gun shop. And then by the time I parked, there was five people in front of me.
Where'd you go? Burbank?
Burbank, yeah.
Okay. And, yeah, they got a few of them over
there. Yeah, because I got a storage space out there, and I was like, let me go by and check it out. And I did, and then, like, I took the test, and it is hand over fist they're making right now.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, but getting ammo is going to be a whole other situation. But I go in there, I'm like, oh, I'll just take this test. And it's all very common sense questions where I overthought the questions and got them wrong. Because they're like, well, the safety on a gun is the primary safety mechanism on a gun. And I'm thinking like, well, actually, no, it's probably meaning that there's a lot of safety mechanisms. There's no one thing you should worry about. You should worry about all of them. So I marked it as false, thinking like, no, there's five things you should always pay attention to, not just one. Like, no, it's actually truth. It's a primary one. Like, okay, well, I was overthinking it. I got the age ones wrong. I didn't realize 21 and over for anybody in California to buy any kind of firearm.
What'd you think it was, 18?
I thought it was 18, yeah. Because you hear about places like in the South or in Michigan or somewhere, like they give kids the first day of the hunting season off of school.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I've heard of that.
No. But anyway, so I got them wrong. And the guy's like, well, he's like, look at the ones you got wrong and then think about it. And then we'll give you your license. Okay.
Oh, man.
Like, I didn't have to hold a gun. Man. I didn't have to do anything. I had to do that. And I just bought it. And then that's it. Mm-hmm. And I, as I'm doing it, I'm like, I think it should be a little tougher than this.
Yeah, it probably should. The same way I think you should have to take a test to vote. I think you should take a 10-question common sense, common knowledge test before you could vote.
Yeah. Well, that's what's funny. Like, people get pissed off at, well, I mean, illegal immigrants, once they were like, immigrants coming here, it's like they had to learn more about this country to be here than you did. They are a more informed citizen than you are.
And I guarantee you their English is better than whatever, you know, our version of their language is.
Yeah, there is no our version of their language. People know a second language.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Anyway. Well.
Oh, boy. Well, all right, buddy. Anything else? Anything else on your mind, Kyle?
Like you the end of a therapy session.
How does that make you feel?
I think weighted fast food bags is a scam that's being that's happening somewhere. That's like five guys burgers and fries. It's not good. They just give you a lot of fries.
Oh yeah, we talked about that on the lost episode that we didn't release.
Oh, but, did we?
I found out why they give you so many fries at Five Guys. Wow. They're not giving you extra fries. Those extra fries that you think you're getting, that's just built into the price. But they do that so you think that you're getting a value. Like, look, it's overflowing. But they built that into the price.
But you're not they're really not even kidding. Good fries. They're like the steak fries, which nobody likes.
No. Five Guys isn't the steak fries. So those are the good ones. They got the hand cut fries, like the homemade ones.
But aren't they the big fat ones?
No, they don't have the. I know what you're talking about. The steak fries, the fat ones.
It's like not a potato wedge, but it's not a fry. Mm. It's in the middle, and it pleases neither a fan.
No, you must be confused. Trust me, I've done plenty of research.
Well, because I had five guys once, and I was like, this is too much mediocre food.
Yeah, I mean the burgers aren't great. They're not bad. They're just kind of bland.
Yeah,
but I do like the fries. I'll tell you that this is the joke I told on the lost episode that I want to tell again. And it's one of the stupidest, funniest jokes I've ever heard. It's about Five Guys. I'm pretty sure it's my buddy from Atlanta, Brian Emond. He used to have a joke. He'd go, I'm paraphrasing and I'm sure I'm going to butcher it. But the gist of it was, he said, I live in an apartment with four other dudes. So there's like five guys in one apartment and we all love to cook. And we were actually going to open our own hamburger stand, but somebody beat us to the punch. I can't believe that there was already a bukkake burger.
God damn it.
That's a good joke.
I like gross, it when you good. Can make the audience get mad for following you for something. That's kind of fun to watch. Like, yeah, I've let us both down.
Oh, Jesus. Well, all right, buddy. Oh, I got a comic of the week this week.
Yeah.
We've plugged her before in her previous work, but she's got a new one out. Sam J, big fan of Sam J. She's got a new Netflix special called 3 in the Morning.
Hell yeah.
It's available now. So shout out to Sam J. If you're not familiar with her work, look her up. She's hilarious.
Sam J's a damn
she's
boss.
Got, yeah, she, I, this is probably at least her second special, maybe third, but yeah, we plugged her a couple years ago when she had an album out, but this is the new one. It's on Netflix. 3 in the Morning, Sam J, Comic of the Week. Check her out. Anything else to plug, man? How's Hey Girl doing?
Hey Girl's
Matt still doing that?
I was going to say, you should check out Bronger's Instagram because Sam J got a painting commissioned for him and his wife when they had their kid, and it's the cover of Vibe magazine with Death Row Records on the cover. Except instead of like Suge Knight, the baby's in Suge Knight's position and like Bronger's Snoop Dogg and Kara's Tupac or something. And that's what she got commissioned for. Sam J doesn't give a fuck.
Nice.
She's out there living it.
What a good gift.
Yeah.
speaking of commissioned work, what was, I think I saw an Instagram thing today of you. Did Meth Syndicate make you a new shirt?
No, this was one from before, but then I just never like put it on and took a picture of it. So I was like, finally, like I've been all summer. I've had like four shirts I've been choosing from up in Oregon. Now that we're back here going through all my clothes, I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. I miss Syndicate shirt, so I figure I'd give him the... Not that he needs what any help, but I think he's crushing it right now.
Yeah. What was the twist of the joke? I saw that it was big. It was Tom Hanks but on the walking piano
but
thing.
But it's Ready to Die is a Notorious B.I.G. album.
Ah, so
that's what, if you look up, yeah, Notorious Biggie's album. That's what it is, except the graphic is Tom Hanks.
Right on. Right on.
And I just sent him, like, this is a dumb idea. And right away, he's like, already had the design. He's like, I can make it as a one-off. And he just made it and gave it to me. It's like, oh, it's awesome. Thanks,
man. Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's a good dude. That's check cool, out man. Eric at Meth Syndicate for all your his ridiculous shirt needs. You gave me the Irishman one with the cover of the leprechaun on it. He had one, it was a 90 Day Fiance one, but it was like Nine Inch Nails, and it was except instead of Nine Inch Nails, it said 90 Day Fiance, and it was just a shitty, instead of Pretty Hate Machine, it said Shitty Date Machine.
Nice.
They're fun.
Yeah, I had to drop your name for that Irishman shirt, because he posted something about it and said that, you know, they're all gone, out of print. And I emailed him. I was like, hey, I know they're out of print, but I'm trying to buy this for my buddy Kyle Kinane. He's a big fan. And he's like, oh, yeah, I love that guy. I could do one more. Yeah. I was like, cool.
Old Eric at Meth Syndicate. Good guy. But
yeah, good stuff, man.
Well, we didn't get to a topic again. I'm sure everybody's let down.
So. Shocking.
But we didn't get mad about stuff. We made some, we had some laughs. You got a treadmill coming. You're going to be in shape.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be a new man. Very excited.
I like it. Like what's happening.
I'm literally. Oh, man. Oh, I got some news. Something to plug. It's not official yet. It's not out yet, but it looks like.
Best time to plug something when it's not official.
No, it's not available yet, but I'm pretty sure it's official. It's going to happen. I've been in the works. But my old album, Hogwash, will soon be available on vinyl. So stay posted. Stay tuned for that. I will I'll keep you up to date when that release date comes. But yeah, Vinyl Nerds, you can get I'll finally have some stand up on vinyl. I've always wanted that. I've always loved that all your stuff is on vinyl. Is it, the new one's on vinyl, right? Trampoline in a Ditch? Is that out yet on vinyl?
No, that one, a lot of people have been asking. That's nice. Eventually, it will get to the point. Nothing in the works now, but I don't see why in the future it won't come out on vinyl. Since that's, like we were saying before the start, the only way to kind of consume things now. So, you know, nobody wants a CD. Nobody wants a tape.
Yeah, no one wants a CD.
But that's awesome. You should have albums out there, man.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll come out soon. And then I know people have been asking about like a new album. I was talking to some guys. They misunderstood me. I have an hour ready to go, ready to record. There were some people thinking that it was available or you know, ready to be released. But no, just whenever I get back to work, whenever I can tour again, I'll record that new one and hopefully drop that one sooner than later. But in the meantime, you can get Hogwash on vinyl probably, I would say, in the next month or so. So stay tuned for that. I'll keep you up to date.
But, Hogwash.
Right on, man. Stoneberg's every Monday, myself and my wonderful fiance, Katie Stramberg. By the way, I know you don't care about this. You're not a big sports fan. Yesterday, I woke up. I wanted to watch the Falcons football season, you know, and she's like, you're going to watch the Falcons? I was like, no, I can't get them out here. You know, not to bore you with semantics.
Go,
but
get into it, man.
NFL is kind of a regional thing. If you live in California, the odds of you watching an Atlanta Falcons game are pretty slim. I was like, no, I can't watch the Falcons. She goes, yeah, you can. I just bought you the NFL Sunday ticket. So I'm the proud owner of the the package where you can watch every game all season long, so I'm very excited. My Sundays are going to be occupied for the next few months. So.
Look at you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, just living a real charmed life over here. Got the NFL Sunday ticket, got a treadmill, I got a sack of Wendy's. I can't complain, Kyle.
I really feel bad that Wendy's is getting cold. Cold burgers aren't good.
I'll take care of that.
Like,
no, they're not.
So but, let's get you in there. Let's get you in the driver's seat of that double, okay? Let's get you.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Hell yeah, man. Hey, I'm going to say it. Good episode, Dave.
Thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure.
All right.
the Boogie Monster.
Network.